You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, Patrick, so overnight for people that went to bed, I think this came across around 1 o'clock in the morning Central Time. DeMar Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest, it has been confirmed, during that Monday Night Football game last night following a hit. This is from the Buffalo Bills Twitter account. He suffered cardiac arrest following a hit in our game against the Bengals. His heartbeat was restored on the field, and he was transferred to the Cincinnati Medical Center for further testing and treatment. He's currently sedated and listed in critical condition. This is kind of the worst nightmare for all of the stakeholders who either run the NFL or even just idiots like us who watch the NFL.
Yeah, there's not much you can, I mean, it's a dangerous game. And that one was kind of odd because the way he popped up immediately. And then what, maybe it was up on his feet for 2-3 seconds and just went free fell to the ground. And I was sitting next to Henry Lake at the Timberwolves game, and he was watching on a little iPad or something. He said, "My God, this guy is really hurt," because he could saw the way he collapsed. And then we kind of monitored it after that. But the blow to the chest, I ran into Sheldon Burns, you know, the Timberwolves internist and stuff. And he was telling me about, he was at a hockey game, doing the medical stuff at a hockey game and a world tournament or something. And a fan got hit in the chest with a puck, and same thing, you know, went into cardiac arrest. You get that hard blow right to the heart, and it can happen. And it looked to me, I thought the guy hit him in the chin with the helmet, but obviously it looked like he hit him, when he lowered his helmet. They got him right in the heart, and man alive, you know what? There's a lot of anecdotal evidence that once they come back from this, they can, you know, they can be, unless there's some brain damage from, you know, not getting air or whatever you need for a while there, you can stop, you can come back from the cardiac arrest thing. So hopefully it'll be fine, but man, it was scary. Oof.
Yeah.
And when he was down too, Pat, you thought that the first thing that I thought just as a older guy was Hank Gathers, you know, that terrible, just collapsing to the, because the way that you free fall, you know, it's different when you are like concussed and you stumble around a little bit and ordinarily I think go face first. The way that he fell was, to me, really the frightening thing, where you can tell that it's more than just a normal, what we consider to be football injury.
Hank had something clinical, though, right?
Yes, he did. So, thank God, I don't think this is that.
Hank had something clinical. I went out and saw Hank play the game before I was going out to the Rose Bowl, and Loyola Marymount was scoring 120 points a game, so I went out there on the night. And I think it was the game before Hank collapsed the first time. And I saw that game. And then I'd have to go back and look, but I was in St. Paul then, so it's hard to get that stuff. I can't remember which game I saw. But then, you know, he came back about a month. First game back, he died, right? I think the first game came back a month later, and they thought he was fine, and he collapsed and died. But, yeah, this kid, poof, that's a really frightening thing. Everybody's being very righteous about the NFL not immediately calling the game off. I think the bottom line is they didn't play. Okay, maybe it took McDermott to say we're not playing. But
I mean, and by the way, I think the Players Association and the NFL both came out and said all this stuff about the NFL gave teams 5 minutes and then the coaches decided no, we're not going to play. That the 5 minute thing was never. But players did start warming up. I mean, Stephon Diggs was trying to rally guys like, "Hey, we got to play. Let's get going here."
And they probably somebody third stringer from the NFL probably right. told you know to give ESPN some interest that the plan would be to warm up for 5 minutes and then start playing again. But it's not like it was, you know, Roger Goodell calling and saying, we're going to start this damn thing in five minutes. But a lot of righteous indignation, to say the least. And a lot of people saying, ordering us all to say prayers for him. We can do that by ourselves. We don't need you to go on Twitter and tell me that I have to pray for this guy, okay? We all know how much we want this guy to recover. We don't need you pompous asses going on to Twitter and telling us how we should feel about this. We realize that we're all traumatized by watching something like that, and we want a full recovery. And it's a dangerous game that we all love, and most of you love it more than I do. So we had the kid from Dyna that we had a kid up in Brainerd who had an emergency this year, and we had a kid from Edina that freshman kid from Edina that's still trying to recover from what happened to him playing football. So it happens, but I don't know. You got to say no contest, don't you? You can't bring him back to play Wednesday and then say okay, now you got to play again Sunday, right?
So they have Buffalo already flew back.
Yes, they did.
Not that it's that long of a trip from Cincinnati to they could fly back on Wednesday but they're not playing today.
You can't put these two of the best teams in the league. You can't put them at that competitive disadvantage of playing Wednesday and then playing again next weekend, right?
It just has to be a no contest, and then wherever the other chips fall, it's basically like a tie, I guess. I don't know, and.
You can't call it a tie because that would screw up their winning percentage, right?
That's the issue.
It's got to be no contest, and they only played 16 games this year, and that we can live with that. Somebody's not going to get home field. Buffalo will probably lose home field because of this, but that's.
I think if you pulled that entire locker room and said, okay,
they're fine with that. They'll go to Kansas City and beat them. They won't worry about that. Yeah. They were no condition to, they all thought he was dead. Right. I mean,
Pat, that's the thing is they saw that when
they
you
saw
see
motion, bring him out the panel.
Well, and they see the paddles come out. I've seen that before. When you see the paddles come out, I don't care about, football at that point. It's hard to go on with your day like that. So if you go and ask them, hey guys, okay, rally around and now go play this sport, it would have been completely out of line. So yeah, I think that they did the right thing. And the other thing too is keep in mind, for the most part, we're watching very young people watch someone die.
Yes.
And they play football where it's unfathomable that they'll ever die. Like it is scary to watch when you're 40 or 50, but think about when you're like 22, 23 and your buddy's there and he's not breathing and they got the paddles out. So yeah, I just think the emotional toll now is going to be pretty high.
A few of the Diggs and a few of the other players apparently went to the hospital and didn't go back with the team. So they kept a few of them there. I was actually at a wake this year for a popular guy, and there were probably 300 people in the room, and it was one of those thirsty wakes. They were serving food and people were drinking, and there were 300 and there were a lot of older people there, and some woman collapsed and died. Everybody's milling around and they're in there hitting her with the paddles, and her husband of 60 years is weeping. And it was, you know, so, I mean, even, you know, anytime you see him bring out the paddles, you're nervous. You're right. So.
What do you remember the only other time? And there's been players who've gotten paralyzed on NFL fields, and there's been horrible injuries and broken legs and compound fractures. But the only time someone has died on the field is 1971 Lions versus Bears. Lions receiver Chuck Hughes.
Yeah.
What do you recall about that?
You know, we did not get the constant TB of, you know, every game wasn't to be found somewhere on TV, but...
You weren't following on social, like the social media aspect of it too, where it's just like...
I can't even remember if I ever saw, where would have we... They probably didn't put up the video anywhere. There was nowhere to put up the video. And I don't think I ever saw a video of it, but I know that people were... You got a story there telling you what was it, a brain injury or what?
Heart attack.
It was a heart attack. So he was just kind of running around.
Had he been struck in the heart too, or what? Or no?
What was the question?
Had he been struck in the heart too, or he just had a heart attack?
So I watched a YouTube video on it last night, and they showed footage of the game, but then they only showed still photos of him on the field, and so then they looped the radio call on top of it, and the radio call made it sound like he was just kind of running a route over the middle and just like fell to the ground on his own. And then the photos were him on the ground face down, and a couple of refs came over and like put their hands on him and stuff. But, you know, I mean, it's also 1971 medical attention too.
They probably had to go downtown to get anyone to come and do any, you know, they probably had two paramedics who didn't even know what paramedics were then. I mean, it is astounding though. This vicious game, how few deaths there have been, isn't it? I mean, you probably lose more. I mean, Corey Stringer, obviously, but you probably lose more guys that way, you know, over exerting themselves, working out in the heat, right? Than you do. The high school kids who have a tendency to die. You know, you lose a few every year working out in August some places. So the heat situation is the worst. I will say that the Stringer's death, oof, that was an emotional thing that next day down there at Mankato. But Corey Stringer died, and I was communicating with Seifert last night. The NFL's response was to take one day out of training camp.
Yeah.
You know, take a day off. Everybody take a day off, then we'll get right back at it. You know.
Yeah. So. And then the next year was let's take some water breaks during practice.
We're going to give a guy a little water. You know, when a guy weighs 320 pounds and he's out there and he can't get up off his knees, maybe we should have a cool place for him to go or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that I was driving back from somewhere. And I heard on a K-Fan that was doing it there that Corey Stringer had been taken off the field. So I stopped in Mankato. And they, you know, all the print guys were, they'd finished their, you know, they didn't know Stringer. That came at the end of practice. So they'd all come back to talk to Denny. And then they were downstairs working. And I came in there and I said, hey, guys, looks it sounds like they took Stringer to the hospital. And then everybody went to work on that. And I remember I got a call at 4:40. My phone rang at 4:40 in the morning. And I said, my wife wouldn't have known who it was, but I said, Corey Stringer died because there's no other reason. And Seifert was calling to tell me that he died. So, yeah, it can be a horrible game at times. We damn near had this in boxing 2 months ago here in town. That guy almost didn't make it.
Yeah,
he's back home in Kazakhstan now. Apparently, thinking he's going to have a boxing comeback. I don't think so. But anyway.
Yeah, God. And this poor. So another story from last night. So this poor kid, this Hamlin. So he was a 6th round pick out of Pitt, and it's his second year in the NFL. And apparently, even before he was in the NFL, he did this annual toy drive or this recurring toy drive. And he had a GoFundMe in which his goal his personal goal was to raise $2,500 for his annual toy drive.
Mm-hmm.
As of the recording of this podcast, I believe it's sitting around $4 million.
Yeah, it was a million last night. So
yeah,
there's going to be some kids getting, apparently he's a hell of, I mean, everybody's a hell of a guy right after something like this, but you look back at stories that were written about him, you know, what a great family he comes from and all that. This was stuff written before last night about him. And he was a big Pit Panther, big guy in the town and community and that kind of stuff. So apparently just an unlucky fella, that's for sure right now. But he comes out of this, he might be fine. I don't know. He won't play football again, but he might,
you never know.
He'd be out of fine. Don't take that blow to the heart. The moral of that story is, oof. One thing that bothers me is that, and I've said this from the get-go, that defenders can no longer lower their helmets, right? But offensive players can.
Well,
I don't know why that is.
Don't they penalize offensive players if it's too
egregious? But that last night was pretty damn egregious. That guy, you know, he tucked his head and ran into him. And, you know, I'm not blaming him. That's the way they do it. But I do believe that running backs lowering their heads should, you know, they shouldn't let them do that, you know. So, this case was, the guy did lower. If the defender had hit that guy the way he hit, the way he lowered his helmet to hit this kid, it would have been a penalty. So,
yeah, T. Higgins was the receiver. Imagine being him. By the way,
yeah.
How do you sleep last night tonight?
If you saw that, you're gonna be like, it's, if you saw that entire thing play out and you really saw it, I think you're gonna be mentally at least set back, because you play that sport and that hit, I mean, we see that hit all the time, right? And like arbitrarily, this one guy takes it exactly wrong. That would frighten you.
I'll tell you, fellas, though, modern medicine is unbelievable. This isn't medicine, but it is. I mean, he's down, and a minute later, they got 15 people out on the field trying to bring him back, right? And within a minute, they know they got to get the paddles, right? They knew, they got out there, they knew after 3 minutes what it was, that it was, mm-hmm. a heart stop because of a blow to the chest. These guys are, you know, as you say, when Chuck Hughes died, they were two guys wandering around the field saying, oh, gee, I wonder what's going on here.
They're like trying to wake him up. I mean, it was literally like officials were like trying to wake him up. Hey, you know.
Still my favorite. The guy's laid out on the field. They're there. Got this. Get those smelling salts out here, God. Ladies. Come on. Give him a little whiff. He'll be back in on. Come on, you big wussy. Get back in there. We need you, Terry.
That's how it was. Yeah. And now it's like you have the fact that you have an ambulance that can just back onto the field within 3 minutes if needed, and I know the NFL, these doctors, like the Tua stuff earlier this year, you know, they've taken a lot of heat for, you know, misdiagnosing guys with concussions and stuff. But at the end of the day, I mean, you have multiple high level medical professionals that can just run out and literally save someone's life compared to 50 years ago. So
guy was in big trouble today is Skippy. Skip tweeted out, you know,
oh God,
it's terrible, but how can you not play this game with it? And then at the
These
bottom,
are critical it, football games.
There's nothing worse than hot take guys trying to address something like this.
Yeah, and then at the end he said, but it was the only decision to good be made, but it was too late by then because the first sentence that anybody reads is, how can they, you know, I did. It's a bad, terrible situation, but how can they not finish this game? Well,
does he not have? I get that his whole thing is shtick largely. Yeah. I mean, he makes like $6 or $9 million a year, and so good for him. But is it sort of like the Ric Flair thing, where at some point Richard Flair just became Ric Flair for forever?
Oh, yeah.
Like, who is, you knew? Didn't you know Skip Bayless when he was a writer?
Yeah. Yeah, he was always an arrogant guy, but, you know, he figured it out that, you know, tell the world that LeBron James sucks and you're going to make a lot of money, right? You can, you know, you can take the best player. You can take a guy who's 39 years old and scored 50 points and tell the world he sucks and you can have a hell of a...
By the way, like, I mean, obviously these stories don't matter in the NBA last night, but while this was all going on, we had Donovan Mitchell drop 71 points for the Cavs last night. Klay Thompson had 50 points, 10 threes. Really? LeBron 50? Had a big game. Crazy last night.
But my, I came up with this theory about a month ago, and I'm sticking with it. I think that Cleveland did better in their big trade with Utah than we did.
It appears that way.
You're really on the limb there, Royce.
I'll take Donovan Mitchell or piping hot take, but I'll take Donovan Mitchell over Rudy. Rudy last night was, it was like Finch was saying, well, I better get him out there for three more minutes. I got to play him at least half the time. We got to get him on the field. You know, I'd rather have Matt Ryan on the court than him, but what time? I better get him out there.
The football player or the Wolves bench player?
Yeah, right.
Either.
Whoever, isn't it Matt? Is it Matt?
Yeah, it's Matt Ryan.
It is, yeah.
He was with
okay, he looks like he'd have trouble starting for the Gophers, but he's getting minutes with this team because they're so, you know, they're such a mess that they, but last night they, Edwards had, didn't score the first quarter. What did he have at halftime? Like four or something? He ends up with third.
He had a bunch of he was mostly rebound assist guy in the first half, and then he took the game over.
And of course it was, it is amazing. As soon as he gets the ball and holds it, right? Holds it for a second, you know he's going to shoot. If you're anywhere in the gym, if there's 15 seconds to go in the quarter and Rudy's standing underneath the basket with nobody around him for 12 feet, that ain't going to help. Anthony is putting one up. You can tell when he's going to shoot. And, you know, he had made a few after a while last night, but I think the last night's victory, noble as it was, had more to do with Denver indifference. This was not a effort from the Nuggets, but hey, they didn't get booed last night. There was
that's the big accomplishment.
They didn't get booed last night.
How was crowd?
Didn't look terrible. Looked like they're drawing a little better the last couple of years, don't you think?
Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. University of Michigan QB J.J. McCarthy makes bold predictions but doesn't fulfill them, and Ohio State kicker Noah Ruggles misses an opportunity to etch his name in Buckeye lore. Fans love their teams and the players, that is, until they don't. When it comes to finger-pointing, you'll find no greater antagonist than the fan. Why? Because it means more to them, or so they believe. As a former player, nothing angers me more than armchair Charlies accusing the teams of overlooking opponents or blaming players for providing bulletin board material. But leading up to the game, the fan is the one talking the most, boasting the most. When the team is winning, it's a lot of we talk. But when the team loses, it turns into they lost. You will never know what those moments feel like because you didn't put in the work to earn those feelings from those moments. That's the great thing about being part of a team. You win as a team, you lose as a team. We cry, we console our brother. We don't point the finger, we go back to work, back to the early morning workouts, the hill sprints, back to the bloody noses and broken bones. Why? Because it really means more to us. Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fixed. And don't forget BetOnline for NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.